Good to see everyone here this morning. I really believe this quarantine will end. Right? Sorrow lasts for the night. The joy comes in the morning, right? Hang on. We are a people of hope. Hang on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your presence here. I come to you right now, and I just want to invite, I want to ask, God, that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. And God, that we would experience that as Jesus is revealing who he is in this passage, God, that we would taste of this bread of life. That we would see Jesus for what he is in his glory, in his majesty. God, I pray for those in this room that are going through extremely difficult times. Let them hear today words of encouragement. I pray for those that, God, are here today and they struggle with a lot of things in Christianity or understanding things. Be merciful to them. Help them to see you, Jesus, today. And help us, God, who know you and love you and dedicate our lives and worship you, help us to get a fresh peace and a joy and a knowledge as we see this wonderful, beautiful passage about Jesus as the bread of life. Come, God, I ask you. Forgive us. Draw near to us. We pray that this time in your word would be a blessing to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to tell you the story to start today of a man named Darren Ray. I don't know if any of you have heard of this man. If you want to see his story, you can watch it on a website called I Am Second. In Spanish, yo soy segundo, right? I am second. And I'm going to just tell you it a little bit today. It's really powerful. So Darren was born with a cleft palate. But as he was an adult and was married, was driving to church one Sunday morning in the state of Colorado in the United States. And as he was coming over a hill, a drunk driver came over the other side of the hill and collided with him, going about 85, 95 kilometers per hour, direct collision. It literally destroyed his body. Did not kill him, of course. He's standing there, you can see him. Put him in a process of rehab that eventually led to the amputation of his leg. They cut off his leg below the knee. Darren was a somewhat church-going, normal kind of Christian person until this accident happened. And as he was in the hospital wrestling with this situation, it just became clearer and clearer to him that even though everyone else and the brokenness he had, it just seemed like everyone else had kind of given up on him, but he knew God hadn't given up on him. He says, loss of limb is not loss of life. Really powerful story, but the powerful part goes beyond that. Listen to what he does. This drunk driver is brought before court, and they're going to punish him. And one of the punishments is he had to pay $2.5 million in restitution to Darren. And they knew this was coming. And so Darren showed up in the courtroom that day and he walked before the judge and he says, I have a request to make of the court. I want to forgive this man the $2.5 million he owes me. And he says, the judge says, are you sure you want to do this? And he says, yes, because my God forgave me a debt I could never pay. I want to forgive him the debt he will never pay. Be able to pay. Darren got out of the hospital and went to seminary. He's a pastor now. And he serves the disabled and the elderly as a pastor. It's a beautiful story. But the question that you see these stories leading us to, it reminds me of a conversation I had this week. I had dinner with a nice man who does not believe in Jesus, agnostic guy. And he said, you know, even though I'm not a religious person, he said, one time I was on an airplane, and as the airplane literally was about to crash in several moments, He said, I saw people praying. And he said, I want to have faith. I wish I had faith. What is it that makes people like Darren or those people on the airplane, what is it that gives them that difference? What changes? Well, I think the answer is that Jesus is who he says he is. And today we're going to read this passage about Jesus as the bread of life. And just listen to the way Jesus describes himself in this passage. Jesus said to them, this is John chapter 6, verse 32. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, it is not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. As we're going through this series, we're trying to explain and unpack these phrases of Jesus. The one I get today is the bread of life. And I think if you want to understand the bread of life, you need to understand four things that Jesus is teaching. One is that Jesus is the bread that is from heaven. Two is that Jesus is the bread that is essential for life. Three is that Jesus is the bread that is sufficient for the world. Four is that Jesus is the bread that satisfies. I think these four things are wrapped up in what Jesus wants to tell us when he says he is the bread of life. So let's take them one at a time. Jesus is the bread from heaven. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. If you're paying attention in the Bible reading today, it was a story of the Israelites who go out into a desert. They do not have any food. They begin to grumble. God, you brought us here to destroy us. God says, okay, no, I'm going to show you I'm not. I'm sending bread from heaven. And so daily, they would go out and collect what appeared to be small pieces of bread or flakes or almost like grain at times. They would collect it, and then after collecting it, they would bake it into bread. And the interesting thing is, when they look to these things, what do the Jewish people say? They're saying Moses is the one who gave us this bread. Isn't it interesting when you listen to that passage, when they were grumbling, they weren't grumbling directly against the Lord. They were grumbling against Moses, right? You did this to us. And Moses said, not only did I not do this to us, I can't fix it either. And Jesus is saying the same thing to the Jewish people. Do you ever do that with a pastor, with a leader, with a person around you? Do you ever not recognize that it's actually God doing things? Has that ever happened to you? You can appreciate the ministry of people on TV or maybe in church or friends of yours. You don't even notice that when your mother is loving you, it's God who's giving you love. Isn't that beautiful? So as Jesus is teaching, he wants them to be very clear. It is not Moses. It's God. It's God. Notice another word Jesus uses here. He calls himself that God gives the true bread. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? He gives true bread. True bread. The bread that is really bread. The true gift from heaven. The true gift from God. When I was in the Amazon basin, you hear a lot of stories that the tribal people tell to explain the world around them. One of these, this comes from a tribe in Colombia, and actually one of their stories, it's really interesting. They try to explain how ants know how to make a line, right? So if you think about this as an adult, right, you see a group of ants and you're thinking, how do ants know how to make lines, right? That's crazy, but they do. And so the indigenous people tell a story. And the story goes something like this, that the ants were all scattered everywhere and they didn't know how to make a line. And then there came a man. And the man began to argue with the ants. Listen, if you just get in line, you'll find out that you can do your work way faster, way better. But the ants didn't listen to him. So then he tried to build barriers around them to move them around. But they wouldn't do that either. And the indigenous story says that finally the man became an ant. And when he became an ant, he led the ants. And they followed him. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the one who came down from heaven to show us the way that we're looking for. It isn't the story on the left here, the picture on the left is of manna coming from heaven. That isn't the bread from heaven. The bread from heaven came in a manger to show us the way, to show us how it is that we make a line. So that's the first thing. Jesus wants it to be clear to them where he's from. And this is very powerful. Listen to me. So many people are asking the question, who is God? And if you ignore the fact that Jesus says he came from heaven, you will never find the answer to that question on earth. So there we are. That's number one. Jesus is the bread from heaven. Number two is this. Jesus is the bread that is essential for life. He's the bread that is essential for life. I want you to think with me just a second. How much money do you make a month? Let's say that you're the average person and you make somewhere around 1,000 euros. I don't know. Let's say something like that. Did you know that for the ancient Jew, hearing Jesus speak, he would have spent 80% of the money he received on food? That means that of the 1,000 euros he would have gotten, he would have spent 800 of that just to buy bread. You see, when Jesus comes to them and he begins to tell them, I am the bread of life, what he's telling them is, I'm essential for life. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven, listen, and gives life. You and I, we can just go down to the store here and pick between 20 different loaves of bread, right? It's not how it worked for them. In a famine for them, you didn't just say, you know what, I think I'm going to buy bread from Egypt. Or I'm going to buy bread from the other side of the world. When they had a famine, people died. And so Jesus is coming into that world. He's coming into that context. He's saying in the middle of that, I am the bread of life. All over the world, it's interesting that different peoples have different staple diets. So some people it's rice. Some people it's bread. Some people it's sweet potato. Some people it's potato. Some people it's manioc. And all of these are considered to be the most basic thing. This is what Jesus is saying. I am that with which, if I do not exist, there will be no life. Did you know the Bible says you and I are dead in our trespasses and sins? It doesn't say we're drowning. It says we're dead. And if someone doesn't give you and I life, we will not have life. That is what the Bible says. And Jesus came to do that. I want to show you a picture of something. I'm not trying to make you hungry here. This is hamburgers, by the way, for those that are listening, not watching. And I want you to think with me just a second what Jesus is saying. You see, for you and I, we go buy food in a grocery store. We don't understand these things. Most of us don't understand these things. Let me ask you a question. How much of that sitting there is living? Is that lettuce alive? The answer is no. It got ripped out of the ground, and if you leave it there for a few days, it's going to wither up and die. Is that tomato alive? The cow we know is not alive. You have to cut the grain down to bake it and make bread. Do you understand? They understood what we so often don't. Life comes from death. And when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's saying to people, I'm going to die. And I'm going to give life in a way that comes only through death, in the same way you get it from bread. He gives life. Not only does he give life, but according to Jesus, number three, he is the bread that's sufficient for the world. In other words, he gives life to the world. We live in a day and age that is divided in politics, it's divided amongst races, it's divided amongst language, it's divided amongst nations, it's divided in every kind of division, boys fighting girls, girls fighting boys, people from here, people from there. I don't like you, you don't like me. We're so divided. And Jesus comes into the divided world and he says, my life I give for everybody. I give to make everybody one. There's only one bread, and it is for the whole world. Jesus is for every human without discrimination. Can you imagine you and I, we read this today, and we think, oh, that's really interesting, right? But think about the skeptical person listening to Jesus. Could you imagine a Jewish carpenter in the first century looking out on a group of people, and he says, I'm going to give life to the whole world. You and I don't quite understand how radical of a statement that is. I don't. At least I have to think about that. We're sitting 2,000 years later with 2 billion Christians in the world saying, yeah, that makes sense. He's sitting around 60 people that are about to abandon him because he's preaching things they don't like. Jesus is prophetically saying, I am this bread. He's the bread for the skeptic. Do you know that? Even those that didn't believe in him, he's still bread. He's amazing. He's bread for every person as they share the gospel. You see, many people don't understand sharing the gospel. That was one of the great conversations I was able to have this week, was explaining, listen, the goal of me sharing the gospel isn't so you switch teams. Do you understand that? I don't go around sharing the gospel to get people to join my team. I'm not trying to increase my tribe. The goal is not that I prove that I'm right and you're wrong. The goal is I have bread that you don't understand and you know nothing about. And if you take of it and eat, I promise you, you will experience life. I have bread and you're hungry. The world, listen to me, it doesn't even know that it's hungry. I love this quote from John Piper, and it says this: if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled, that is to eat little pieces. You've nibbled so long at the table of the world, your soul is stuffed with small things. And it has no room for God. Just think about that a second. It's not that the world we live in, brothers and sisters, is just filled with nothing. It's that Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and the internet and Netflix and Disney Plus and all the video games in the world and going out on a hike and doing all these things. They're good in and of themselves, but they will take God's place at times. And we begin to nibble on them, and then we say, I'm not hungry for Jesus. And this is what the beautiful thing about something like a quarantine does to us. When God strips everything away, we begin to realize that the thing we needed the most was the thing we always had with us, wasn't it? What about you? I grew spiritually during that time. It was good for me. And I think for many of his people, it is good. And it was good. Lastly, Jesus is the bread that satisfies. I want to camp just a little bit on this one. I think this is such a needed thing. When they asked one of the psychologists in the leading department of psychology in Harvard what he thought they should teach new college students coming in, he said, I think the number one thing they should teach them is how to deal with addictions. I thought that was such an interesting comment. How to deal with addictions. People are addicted. They're hungry. They're addicted to all kinds of things, as he noticed. Jesus is the bread that satisfies. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, listen, shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Humans seek to be satisfied. Could you imagine being God as you created humanity? You create all these things, but then you decide, you know what? I'm going to make them where they're hungry several times a day. What an interesting thought, huh? Everything God does, whether sleep or hunger, whether children or marriage, it's a teaching of God. Do you understand? I learn how God loves me by the way I love my children. I learn what it is to give my life up as Jesus does, as I do it for my wife. I learn what it is to be satisfied in my soul by being satisfied in my body, by eating food. It's a parable. But what we do, and hear me, this is where I want to get really pastoral, help you live your life kind of practical down to earth. Listen, what we do is we confuse what we want with what we need. You and I are very live in a world where everything is needed. And if you don't get it, it causes some sort of psychological problem in a person, right? He didn't get treated the way he wanted, therefore he's a really bad person to other people. We're taught that people need sex. We're taught that people need to feel this or need to be treated like that or need. Listen, you will not die if someone is not nice to you. And I'm just going to tell you, we confuse those. And let me tell you what ends up happening. There's four things that happen when we confuse wants and needs. The first is maybe when you go after that thing you want, thinking it's something you need, the first thing that might happen is you can't get it. And so when you go after that thing that you think you need and you don't receive it, you get frustrated. You ever seen people that are just frustrated, just bitter at life because they live in a life that they constantly are not getting what they want? And so they're frustrated. They think they need it, but they actually don't. They just want it. And so that's one option. That leads us to not being happy. But here's another one. Maybe you do get it. But like so many things, we get it, and then the battle after getting it is to say, now I've got to keep it. And I start worrying, how am I going to keep my status? How am I going to keep my job? How am I going to keep climbing up? How am I going to keep the girl? How am I going to... And so all this, getting what I wanted, actually leads to my anxiety. Isn't that amazing? You got what you wanted, and it made you worse. But also it leads people to be depressed and disappointed. Constantly I will hear, I heard a man this week tell me, I reached the top of my career too young. And now I'm just bored. I'm just not interested. Isn't that interesting? You get what you want and you get depressed. Or maybe you become like the professor of psychology at Harvard saying, maybe you become a slave to that thing. I got to get it, and then when I run out of it, I got to get it again, and then when I run out of it, I got to get it again, and I've got to do what I want, and it's on and on. Listen to me. In none of those cases is the person satisfied. None of them. They're not happy. So what is the key according to this Bible? We're not talking about new knowledge. I don't have to go out and scan the internet for new knowledge. I want to share with you very old wisdom that God built in to the foundation of the world. And it just comes from this simple passage in Philippians. He says, I am not speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Pay attention to that. I knew how to be brought low. How to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret to placing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, Paul's a beautiful example of this. I want you to notice two things. He was not born knowing how to be content. He learned how to be content. Did you hear that? Hear me, brothers and sisters. Jesus is the bread of life. You're not born knowing that, but you can learn that. And one of the things you can learn is that God is so gracious and so kind that he sends problems into our life and into our heart to show us what is inside of us. I told the story of how my dad taught me as a child in the past. He would go to the place that our animals drink water out of, and he would take a stick and he would stir it up. And it looked like clean water, but as he began to stir it, all the dirt would come up from the bottom. You could just see how dirty it was. He would say, change the water. And God, in his love, he comes to us and he says, you think you're content? Let me do a little stirring and I'll show you how discontent you are. And that's his love. He's helping you to learn. And what is he helping you to learn, Paul? What is the thing we need to learn? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can go through hard times. I can go through quarantines. I can go through difficulties in my marriage. I can go be a student and be mistreated by my teachers and my friends because I'm not the color of the people around me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can, and I can be happy. Paul, you say, teach us. Did you really do this? Did you put this in practice? Well, let me tell you a story. He preached in a little town called Philippi. And as he preached in the town of Philippi, he was arrested. They pulled the shirt off of his back and they whipped him with the whip until he began to bleed. It was a very painful process. And as they whip him, they drag him off to the jail and they chained him into stocks, him and Silas, another brother that was with him. And as they chain him, listen, they know this because they've discovered these types of jails. People didn't get unchained to go to the bathroom. Can you imagine what it smelled? Could you imagine the pain he was feeling? But the Bible says, listen, he was singing hymns to God. I promise you, this wisdom is powerful and it is old. Jesus has the power to satisfy your soul. He is the bread of life. Some of you today are in desperate need of being satisfied. You're finding that the things around you aren't doing it. Let me invite you. You may have tried Jesus and gotten tired of Christianity, but I'm talking about religion, I'm talking about a person. And I challenge you, come to Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much for your word today. We thank you that you are the bread of life. Jesus, that you have come to us, that by your death on the cross, we find life. Just like all the things that we eat pretty much are dead. God, we come to you, and by believing in you, Jesus, we find life. Come to our souls. Teach us to be like the Christians of old who understood what it was to do things in you and through you and be satisfied by you. Love your people. They're so precious, Lord. Meet them where they're at and their needs. God, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.